who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
I am who Christ is.
Now, when we believe the word of God works in us. It means that the word of God has a working ability. Now, the word works in your spirit. The word works in your soul. And then the word works in your body. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and body. So the word of God has a surgical power. The church is not supposed to teach sin. We are supposed to teach righteousness because we are the righteousness of God. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable unto instruction in righteousness. Not instruction in sin. We don't need to have knowledge about sin. We need to have knowledge about righteousness. But that is who we are.
Praise God. Look at someone and tell the person, you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Tell another person, you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Praise God. Now lift up your right hand. Say, the word of God.
The word of God.
Is God speaking to me?
Is God speaking to me?
Say, the word of God.
The word of God.
Is God speaking to me?
Is God speaking to me?
Say, the word of God.
The word of God.
Is God speaking to me?
Is God speaking to me?
Say, I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
Say, I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I can do what Christ can do.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
In heavenly place.
In heavenly place.
Now.
Now.
Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shall we please be seated? I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 19. We are continuing our series on Christ being formed in me. Or Christ formed in me. Kalahasha kalabahasa. Vikusa ashteli vakusande. Mekora hasi kiboko seke stele kaski farusta. Minto vasundi ni makashaya. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. You see, David said something. He said, thou hast made known unto me the ways of life or the path of life. In the book of Acts, it is repeated there. He said, thou hast made known unto me the ways of life or the path of life. See, the word of God makes known unto you the path of life. He says that thou hast made known unto me the path of life. The word of God makes known unto us the path of life. Or the word of God makes known unto us the ways of life. And those ways of life that the word of God makes known unto us are the ways of life of God. In other words, when you are born again and eternal life is imparted into your spirit, you are supposed to live that life outside. And the life that you are supposed to live outside is the life that is inside. Praise God. And that life is the way God lives. It's the kind of life that God lives. So, what the word of God does is to show you what eternal life is all about, or the God kind of life is all about, and how you should live it. The how you should live it is the ways of life. But the kind of life you live is eternal life. Did you hear that? So, the how you should live it, or you should live the God kind of life, how you should live the God kind of life, is the ways of life that David was talking about. That you have made known unto me the path. You see, Jesus said, I am the way. So the more of the word of God you have, the more of the way you know. And the way you know is the ways, or the way of life is the way you know is the way of God. In other words, the way God does the things he does are his ways. That's why the Bible says that he made known unto Moses his ways. But the Israelites, his acts. Then Paul said that I have sent my son Timothy to you, who will make known unto you my ways in the Lord. So there is what is called our ways in the Lord. Shout amen. There is our ways in the Lord. And Paul was saying that because Paul was a doer of the word. So, by saying that Timothy will make known unto us, or to make known unto the church his ways, he was saying that Timothy will make known unto the church his word, the word of God. Why? Because Paul had so much studied the word of God that he could tell the church that be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. In other words, look at me. The way I do the things I do, and the revelation and wisdom I function by, to determine how Christ functions or does his things. So he said, imitate me. It means to mimic, to copy. So he says, imitate me. Paul said, imitate me as I've done what? I imitate Christ. Shout hallelujah. So the ways of life has been made known unto us. And the more of the knowledge that we impart every time as we come for watching this conference, the more of the ways of life that we are imparting into your spirit. And the reason why it's important that we impart those ways into your spirit is because, see, God wants us to rule over the circumstances of this life. God wants us to rule in this world. Hallelujah. He has called us unto rulership. See, he has called us unto rulership. He has called us unto lordship. He has called us unto Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, what he expects of us is to rule over the circumstances of this life. There are the circumstances of this world. Are you listening? There are the circumstances of this world. There are the circumstances of this life. They are there. Demons are there. Sicknesses are there. Circumstances are there. But Jesus, knowing that circumstances are there, wants us to rule over the circumstances which are there. That is why he has called us into him. Shout amen. So, circumstances, someone said, circumstances are real, but more real is our faith. Shout amen. So the circumstances and situations we find ourselves are there. Shout amen. Now you see, Jesus said something. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, those of us who are in Christ Jesus have been called to rule over the circumstances of this world. We've not been called to be victims of the circumstances of this world. We are in Christ Jesus to rule over the circumstances of this world. Not to be victims of the circumstances of this world. We are in Christ Jesus, to rule over the circumstances of this life, not to be victims of the circumstances of this life. Because that is your present position. For you to experience that rulership, you need knowledge. Shout amen.
Amen.
Are you listening? Because circumstances and situations can hold you captive. Sickness can hold you captive. Demons can hold you captive. But when you are born again, you rule over them. That's why you are in Christ. You see, next week I'll talk about faith. And I want you to be here. See, Jesus said that. He said, in this world you have tribulations. Then he said, but in me you will have peace. In this world, he said, you will have tribulations. Then he said, but in me, you will have peace. The word tribulation there means pressure. He says, in this world, you have pressure. You have persecutions. You have trouble. But in me, you have peace. So, when you are in Christ Jesus, you are in peace. Listen, in the midst of circumstances, all the circumstances you see around are subject to change. The one who changes those circumstances is not God. The one who changes those circumstances is the Christian. Listen, it's very important. Shout amen. So he said, in this world you will have tribulations, but in me you will have peace. Then he says, cheer up. Then he says, I have overcome the world. Why is he saying that you have peace? Because he says, cheer up. He has overcome the world. In other words, he says, I have subdued the world. But in the world there is tribulation. The one who has subdued tribulation is the one in whom you are. Shout hallelujah. So, he has subdued the world. He has called you into him to subdue the world on his behalf. Did you hear that? So, if you are in Christ Jesus, you've been called to subdue, to dominate, to have dominion over the world. But you see, you can't experience this thing until you have knowledge. It is for in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Then he says, but a new creation. Then he says, as many as walk according to this rule. He says, peace be on them. Shout hallelujah. So he says, oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, there are circumstances, but we are in Christ Jesus. See, what we need is not praying to God about our circumstances. We are not praying to God about our circumstances. See. Shout hallelujah. We are not praying to God about our circumstances. No. What we've been called to do is to speak to circumstances. We are speakers. See, I stumbled on a verse, I think last 2 days, when it says, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Unto God who is able to do it, and says, according to his power that is at work in you. So that's why the Bible says, if your faith has a grain of mustard seed, you shall speak to this mountain. We speak to circumstances, we speak to situations in Christ Jesus. We don't speak as prayers. We speak as prayers in Christ. Hallelujah. See, a lot of Christians are just there. God should do this. God should do this. I don't know why God has not done this. No. 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 Speak. Speak to circumstances. Say, I'm a speaking spirit. Say, I'm a speaking spirit. Last week I was praying, I said to myself, I said, I decide what happens to my body. See, I want you to come to that point where you are practicalizing the word. It says, who by reason of practice? I said, for he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Then it says that, but strong meat belongs to them who by reason of practice, by reason of use, just have their senses exercised. So there is such a thing as exercising your senses. He's saying that you have loaded your spirit so much that you see, your spirit rules over your senses. When it says you are exercising your senses, so that your senses, when it says your senses, talking about your five senses, feeling, hearing, so you hear things. You may hear things which is not consistent with the word of God. But because you have the word of God in your spirit, and you put the word of God to work, the word of God prevails over what you hear. See, the word of God has what is called prevailing power. Say prevailing power. That's why the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When the word of God grows in you, it will prevail. Did you hear what I said? See, when the word of God grows in you, it will prevail. When the word of God grows in you, it will prevail. It means that it will have the final results. See, don't tell somebody, don't leave your life to chance. But you see, when the word of God grows in you, it will prevail. It has a prevailing ability. It has a prevailing ability. See, Christianity is a fight with the word of God. Christianity is a fight. We've been called to a fight. We've not been called to sit down and cross our legs. Say, God do, God do. No. We've been called to a fight. The life of Christ is a fight. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight inconsistent with the word of God. You have heard, you have received revelations of who you are. You see a circumstance coming. That is why it says, who by reason of you have your senses exercised to discern good from evil. You can see that this thing is demonic. This is evil. You see, you have loaded yourself that you can see when this thing is evil. And you deal with it as evil. You don't understand it. Shout amen. Do you understand? So the word has prevailing ability. It has the ability to prevail over any symptom in your body. And when you receive the word of God too much, you decide how things should happen. Decide in your body. Decide in any area of your life. Lakosi atala bahasha. See, yesterday I was praying, I was thinking about me in Christ, but next week I'll talk much about that. Then, as I was praying, I was thinking, I said, it means that if someone has to hand something over to you and the person is not handing anything over to you, and you put the person's name down like this, and you pray in the Holy Ghost and you call them and say, Obed, I exercise authority over you. What are you doing? You are deciding what the person should do for you. But you see, it's a fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. Look at someone, tell the person, it's a fight of faith. So you see, we are not victims. We are not to be held captive by any other thing in this world. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. And we prevail because we are in Christ Jesus. The more of the knowledge that we have in our spirit, the more we prevail. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 4, he says that, so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Are you following? My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, where we are is higher. It's too late. It's too late for demons to have control. It's too late for sicknesses to have control. See, it's not just about praying. Load yourself with the word. Load yourself with the word. You listen to watching just messages. Some of you don't have time. See, you have to make time for the word. It's not something you do. You are in the workplace, you listen to messages. It's good, but it cannot do it. It will not do much. Have time. Sit down. Close yourself. You are in a room. You are in your room alone. Close yourself. Close the door. Be there. Listen to the message. Open your Bible. Follow accordingly. You stand up. You hear a statement. You give it pause. If it's whatever is pause, you listen. You say no. You say it to yourself. See, this thing I'm telling you. Things don't just... See, as a Christian, things don't just happen. Don't just sit down and say, oh, it will happen. No. The devil is cunning. So be more serious. Sometimes it's amazing. The devil seems to be more serious than many Christians. Wanting to do everything, projections, conceptions, wanting to do everything possible to put a Christian to. Do everything to put a Christian down. That's what I'm saying, that sicknesses are real. This is, I'm talking about, but more real is our faith. More real is our position in Christ. Amen. Now, Ephesians 3, 4, Paul says that, so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Praise God. So, Paul was intellectually sound, an intellectual giant. Paul. But then, last week I said it here. Said, I determined not to know anything else apart from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, when it comes to Ephesians, when he said that he was speaking to the Corinthian church, he came to Ephesians. He said, so that when you read what is there, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he had made the knowledge that he had received about or of the mystery of Christ his knowledge. He had personalized the knowledge. He had become so committed to that revelation he had received, an insight into the knowledge of Christ, that he had made him his personal knowledge. He had made the knowledge his personal knowledge. He had specialized in that kind of knowledge. That particular knowledge. His knowledge of speciality. He said, when you read, you may understand my knowledge. He has seen knowledge as his personal possession. It's not something... So when you read, you may understand my knowledge. See, when you come to that state, when you see the word of God or the knowledge of Christ as your knowledge, your whole mind changes. The way you do things change. I've made up my mind, no devil can make me bow. No circumstance can be big enough to make me bow. No. Why? Because all of them are subject to change. They may not change right now as you want, but they will still change. That's why I say it's a fight. Sometimes you say, oh, it will change. It's not changing. You say, no, it will still change. And I've seen it several times and it has worked. It has worked for me. When you see circumstances, that this thing will change. It doesn't matter how it will still change. That's why it says, who by reason of your senses exercised. You have come to that state where you are ruling over your senses. When the circumstance is still speaking, say, no, don't worry. You will change. Sometimes you tell yourself, you tell your body, you say, I decide what goes into my body. I decide that this thing cannot stay in my body. You say it to yourself, by the time you go and sit down, you hear a whisper. What if? You say, shut up. Taking every talk, you say, shut up. It will still not happen. Don't let the devil, that's why I said, don't let circumstances have enough power to bother you. No. Paul said that it had become his knowledge. His knowledge. The only knowledge he knew was the knowledge of Christ. See, the Christian is supposed to be ruling by the knowledge of Christ. You don't know how important the knowledge of Christ is. And don't wait till you are confronted with a situation that before you are now looking for knowledge. No. You should be equipped. A soldier is always equipped. That's how come you know he's a soldier. Always equipped. You have a military mentality. Say, I'm a soldier for Christ. But you see, he was talking about his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It's very important. Let the knowledge of Christ become your knowledge. Let the knowledge of Christ be your possession. So that in some of his writings, he says that the knowledge of Christ, even Peter said that our brother who has so much wisdom. But Paul said that this is my knowledge to himself. Personal. He could have said, oh, this is the knowledge of Christ. But he had changed. He had moved from where he understood as the knowledge of Christ to where he understood now as his knowledge. That's what I'm saying. So you come to understand the word of God as your knowledge. Allah has shaken. Say, my knowledge. Say, my knowledge. Say again, say, my knowledge. So when you read, you may understand. Go to Colossians chapter 2. My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see, the Bible says in Oh Kalahasha Fetili Bakasa. Mikora Hasindi Nimako Shaki Farukati Sekeya. Miko Levaku Sandi Libako Seshta. Mateteya. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Livoko Sendi Limako Sakara. I'm going to start from verse 1. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Last we talked about Christ being formed in you. We are continuing with Christ being formed in you today. We'll finish it today. That's what I talked about. But I want you to take note of the epistle that Paul wrote to the Galatians. And he wrote that epistle to the Galatians because he wanted Christ to be formed in them. The letters that he wrote down was to get the people, to give them knowledge of Christ. So that knowledge will form them. Amen. Okay, let's continue. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. I'm reading from the King James Version. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, mm-hmm. to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. You come back here. Something just came. See, the word of God has prevailing power. Listen. The more the word of God grows in you, the more you prevail. Now, the Bible says that, but grow in grace. Before we come back to college, go to 2 Peter. I just have to explain this one before we continue. It just came into my spirit. See, it doesn't matter whatever area you find yourself. You may be a businessman. You may be whatever you do. You need the knowledge of Christ.
Peter chapter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace
mm-hmm.
and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus
and
Christ.
And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, but grow in grace. See, we are talking about when the knowledge comes so much into your spirit. Now it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But grow in grace and in knowledge. So there is such a thing as growth in knowledge. Are you listening? There is such a thing as growth in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, grow in grace and in knowledge. He says, grace and peace be multiplied. So you want to see the peace that Jesus said he has left with you because you are in him. He says that grace and peace. Peace there means prosperity, rest. See, there is a life. See, look at me. There is a life where you meet issues. You subdue them. You meet issues. You subdue them. Then there is another level where you don't meet issues to subdue them. One is overcoming. The other is triumphant. That's what I was talking about last week. So when you overcome, you have met an issue, you overcome. You subdue things or you subdue circumstances in Christ. They have come. You have subdued them. You understand? But there's another level of knowledge where you are triumphant. That's why he was saying, thank be to God who caused us to triumph. That one you have a walk over. As you go, things begin to work. See, it comes by knowledge. The peace, prosperity is talking about. Grace and peace be multiplied. Through the knowledge, see. Listen. God is true. First John said that we are in him that is true. When we say God is true, we are in him that is true. That means that we are in someone who is right, who is just. It means that what he says is what is exact. It's exactly the way he says it. In other words, when he says, I call this thing white, it is forever white. It's not like, oh, today is white. But that is why when you look at the epistles, they are consistent. They are consistent. Why? Because what God says is true. Did you get that? So, when God says this thing is white, it's white. It's exactly that way without any changes forever. So, when he says we are in him that is true, that's what he's saying. We are in the one who, what he says, is forever the way he has said it. There cannot be changes with it. That's why the Bible says that we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. So when he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto us through the knowledge, he is telling us how grace and peace should be multiplied unto us. So, grace and peace cannot be multiplied unto you without the knowledge, no matter how many years you pray. You don't know how important the knowledge of Christ is. You don't know. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of him that has called us. So he has called us and he says that his grace and his peace can be multiplied, can be made plenteous, can be abundant in your life through his knowledge. So if you don't go for his knowledge, you can't have the rest. He says that, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. So there is such a thing as a growth in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. An increase in knowledge. Are you following me? There is an increase in knowledge. An increase in the knowledge of Christ. When the knowledge of Christ becomes buoyant in your spirit, it becomes plenty. It's increasing in your spirit. The knowledge has increased in your spirit. He says, grow in knowledge. Increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stay at one place. Don't be static. Be increased, because the knowledge of Christ is progressive. What I knew last week, I know more than that this week. And what is making me more wild this week than last week, you don't know. Praise God. So he says, increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are levels of increase in knowledge. There are levels of knowledge. There are levels of revelation. See, you receive more knowledge on a particular subject. You receive more light on a particular subject. Write that one down. When you receive more light on a particular subject. Shabakosa. Telivakosikitia. The knowledge of Christ is important. It doesn't matter what sphere you find yourself. Your position in Christ is first before that sphere. So you're a businessman, your position in Christ is first before your business. Because you can make your business stand and not fall. By knowledge. Not just, see, people think that when you do business, all you need is the knowledge about business. Go and ask Peter. He was a good fisherman. When he met Jesus, he saw that someone was better than him. You understand? So some people think that, if you're a businessman, all you need is knowledge about business. No, that is wrong. That's what we've been taught, but that is wrong. You need the knowledge of Christ. There are people you meet, there are places you will go to. Your business knowledge cannot do anything. Dude, I was talking to a guy, I said, you know what? All you need is favor. And I said, that is all you need. Shout hallelujah. So you need to increase it. You receive light on a particular subject. You receive more light on a particular subject. It may be one subject. You receive more light on that particular subject. It may be on healing. It may be on authority. It may be on you in Christ. You receive more light. Why? Because if there is only one light in this room, it will be on. You switch it on, it will be on. But it cannot be compared to when there are five lights in the same room. The more the light, the more the brightness. You didn't get what I said. See, the more the light, the more the brightness. The more the light in your spirit, the more the brightness. So when you have one light, it will be okay. When you have five, it will be different on the same particular subject. So you don't finish studying a particular subject. There's no such a thing that I've studied this thing about Christ. I've listened. I've heard everything. You've heard nothing. Why? Because I've come to realize that when there is too much light, there will be brightness. You know what that means? That when there is too much light in your spirit, you will not think to act. Why? Because there is automatic brightness. You can see well. You can do well. Why? Because there is too much light. That is what happens when he said that increase in knowledge. Because when there is too much knowledge on the same subject, how things will fall into place, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. So don't just, as for me, I come for watching. The reason why I want to speak to your spirit. I want to speak to your spirit. Don't just say, I come for watching this conference. I come for watching this conference. No. What we are doing watching this conference is to flood you with light. If your phone cannot have messages, go and sell it. Go and throw it away and get another phone. You need this knowledge. You need to listen to it. Do whatever you can do to get this knowledge. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man who saw a treasure in a field and sold all that he had. He saw there was a field, there was a treasure in the field. And then he went to sell all that he had to come and buy the field. Why? Because there was treasure in the field. And he knew that by buying the field, he has bought the treasure. And when he gets the treasure, he will be able to recover what he has sold. That's wisdom. That's what Jesus said, that the people of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of the light. Why? They see this thing and say, But even people who have knowledge that are limited, the knowledge that is limited, that they can tell you that this thing I see, but I can't help you out. I can't help you out. They don't play with that knowledge. That's more knowledge they have. We have a complete knowledge. So if you've not been studying, you've not been made, that's what I'm saying, that as you listen to the message, speak to yourself. What the word of God says, what you are hearing, you speak to yourself. You speak to yourself. You speak the word to yourself. You think about it. What is he saying? Is he saying that I'm superior to circumstances? But I have circumstances around me. I don't know what to do. But I'm superior. Even in the midst of all these circumstances, I'm superior. You tell yourself, I'm superior. By my spirit, I'm superior. Praise God. It is important. Now let's go to Colossians that we increase in knowledge, our spirits. We increase in knowledge, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say it's a complete knowledge. If there is nothing a man can look for that is not in that knowledge. So when you say, oh, I cast out devils, they don't go. I've cast out devils, they don't go. I speak to my body, I don't get healed. I have pain, I speak to my body. It is not time to complain. You don't know. It is not time to complain, to say, oh, I speak to my body. It's like this, I speak to my body. No. Listen to that message again and again. Open the word of God, study it again and again. The higher the light, the higher the brightness. That's what I'm telling you. The higher, you say, oh, we went to cast out devils. It didn't go. So, we cast out devils, they didn't go. This thing crowd they are saying. No, their word is forever the same. If the devil doesn't go, it has to do with you. So what do? You don't look at the word and blame God and blame people. No. You don't have authority and blame others. See, I've come to... That's why I'm saying that we don't pray about circumstances. That is, we don't pray. We say we are praying about this circumstance. We are praying about this thing that it will change. No. No, it won't change. It is supposed to change, but it won't change. Get more light, it will go. I've shared this testimony over and over. I said I used to have a lot of bleeding. When I just stand, I'll be bleeding. And at Japan is here. When I was in Lagos, I'll just be bleeding every day. I'll be cutting. They'll put cotton in my nose. The bleeding stopped on its own. You have nightmares, attacks here and there. It is not time to wake up and be crying. You make the devil laugh. Just when I give this person more, he'll give up. I know, if I give him more injection, he give up. You say no, in the midst of it, you say no, devil, you're a liar. The Bible says, let God be true. That's what God is a true God. Let God be right. That's what he's saying. Let the word of God you have be right. Don't have a reason to blame the word. Let it be right. And let everything you see around you be a liar. When you have that mentality and that attitude towards the word of God, when you make the word of God right, in the midst of whatever, you make the word of God right. Just let God be true and let every man be a liar. So as far as you are concerned, whatever is happening is still lies. The Bible says the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So the more you are sitting down crossing your legs and looking at him, he will destroy all. You are just sitting down looking at him, crying, looking for here, doing this, complaining. He will finish you. Because that is his constitution. That is his own knowledge of speciality. His manifesto. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. So he's in to destroy. If he wants to destroy, it's not you. If you are sitting down allowing and crying, you are wasting time. Let him know that you are more than him. There are issues that happened to me, I never told anybody. I didn't have to. I was so angry, I wanted to show the devil that I am higher than him. Get angry. Oh, this is happening. Oh, Papa, this is... No. Get beyond Papa. It's very important. See, this thing I'm sharing because I have a lot of experiences. I can't share them now. But it's not about what is happening to you. No, it's not about it at all. But I'm telling you, the nightmares, wet dreams, whatever, never went anywhere to tell anybody anything. It has to go on its own. Why? I have seen this thing and this is right. Whatever is happening around is not right. And the more you receive more light, you sit down, books, messages, listen to them, they will give way. They are subject to change. As long as you sit down and you are just pampering the, you heard you are pampering. And the devil is also sitting down. Oh, this way, but give him another one, he'll go. Give him another one. Shout hallelujah. Why? Because the devil is in to destroy. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast. Don't sit down. Because when people are in school, when they write an exam and they fail, they'll write again. When they fail, they'll write again. When you write one application to that some people should employ you, an application like that, and they don't employ you, you write again. You write again. You can write like some people write 100 application letters and go for sometimes 100 interviews. Anywhere he's called, Meboa. Anywhere he's called, he needs the job. How urgent? I need this job. That is the same approach. I need this thing. But when it comes to that one, you can write 100. You can even if you don't have money, you borrow money and go for interview. When you go for the interview, so they won't employ you. Come and sit down at home. But you don't give up. But when it comes to these things, then you give up. Don't give up. Look at someone, tell the person, don't give up. It's a fight. Don't give up. Shout amen. Go to Colossians. Don't give up. Kalahashe keleba. Don't give up. Kileba kosende. Visushta. We have been trained to love quick fix, quick fix, quick fix. But you see, one thing I've seen is that when you have an issue, you go somewhere, the thing is sorted. You will meet another one. It will be higher than the one that you met. You meet another one. I'm telling you, you will meet another one. If you have not been, if all those times you've not been programmed on this knowledge or about this knowledge, when you meet another one, you have to look for the same person again or another person. You can't live your life waiting for one circumstance to come, then you go to a man of God or you go to another circumstance. No. Make up your mind, you want a life of victory and triumph. Because that is the life that God has given to us in Christ. And you want to experience that kind of life. As I walk every day, it's not the teaching. I want to live a victorious life. I want to live a triumphant life. When what you say is what prevails. And until I get there, I'm still going in knowledge. Why? Because we are not ordinary beings. We don't treat issues ordinarily. Don't give up. Praise God. Go to Colossians quickly. Chapter 2.
Colossians chapter 2 from
verse 1.
For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted.
That their hearts might be comforted.
Being knit together in love.
Being knit together in love.
And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of.
Before you go to him, that's verse what?
Verse 2.
In whom is verse 3. Okay. So Paul is saying that, listen, it's very important. I want to explain something here. He says that he has struggled in himself. That is, his desiring or his yearning to go to the Colossians and to people, those at Laodicea. That's what he's just saying in verse 1. So he was saying that I have a strong desire in myself. So because he wanted to meet those who have not seen him in face, or they've not seen him before. They just read his letters. They've read the knowledge he's bringing in, or he was bringing to them, but they had not seen him before. So he had this desire to go to them. Then he said that the reason why he had the desire is for them to be comforted in love, to be comforted, and their hearts knit together in love. So that they'll do what? They'll come to the full assurance, or unto the full assurance of understanding. Shout hallelujah. unto the full assurance of understanding. And the New King James says the knowledge. The acknowledgement is knowledge. And unto the knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ. Why? Because the mystery of God is Christ. We've talked about that. The mystery of God, or the mystery of God's will, is Christ. Christ is the mystery of God. We've talked about that. Then he says that they will have what? The full assurance of understanding. The full assurance of understanding. They will have the full assurance of understanding. So he wanted the church to have what he calls the full assurance of understanding. When we say you are fully assured, what does it mean? It means you are fully convinced. You are fully persuaded in your understanding. That's what Paul is saying. You have full confidence, or you have full persuasion. That is why, you see, at the point in time, Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, for I am persuaded." Shout amen. See, Paul was the knowledge he was talking about. You should understand. When you read further in the epistles, you see it there. But then, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither life nor death shall separate me from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus." So he was persuaded. Now he says that he wanted the church to be fully persuaded in their understandings of the mystery of God and in their knowledge. You see, in the Colossians chapter 1, he said that, "I desire that," I've taught this thing. And when he says that, "I desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding." In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 reading downwards, or 10 reading downwards. Then Paul says that he desires that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will in what? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now he continues in chapter 2 to say that he wants to meet the Laodiceans and the Colossians face to face. He wants to meet them so that they'll do what? They'll be comforted, they'll be knit in love, and that they will have full assurance. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded in their understanding. Why? Because you can be in church and not be fully persuaded of your understanding of the mystery of Christ. That is when what if comes. Hey, what if? Hey, what if? It means you are not very sure. Praise God. But then he says that you are full, we'll be fully persuaded, that the church, us, will be fully persuaded of our understandings of the mystery of God. Our understanding of the mystery of God will be fully persuaded in it. And the knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ. So our understanding of who Christ is, we are fully persuaded. You are not just saying, "I am who Christ is, I am who Christ is." No. You are fully persuaded. You are fully persuaded of that particular truth. It means that there is a point where you receive, you can be fully persuaded of the mystery of God, or fully persuaded of Christ. Trying to remember some verse in Hebrews. Now, then it says that, and of the knowledge of Christ. So, he wants us to be fully persuaded of the understanding of Christ. And wants us to be fully persuaded of our knowledge of Christ, which is the mystery of God. And the word knowledge he uses there, he's talking about an exact knowledge, specific knowledge. When we have come to an intimacy with the knowledge, so that we are fully persuaded about this knowledge of Christ. Sometimes you want to lay hands on a sick person, but you are afraid. You get what I'm saying? That's what Paul was talking about. We say that speak to circumstances. You can go and come, go and come, go for 3 days. You've not spoken to the circumstances. Why? You are wondering, hey, what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't? Why? Because you've not become fully persuaded. You see, there are three things I've talked about over and over. Divine wisdom, knowledge, and then understanding. Are you here? Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. I've talked about wisdom, I've talked about knowledge, I've talked about understanding. Praise God. Now, Paul says that the knowledge he used, the word he uses for knowledge there is specific knowledge. So when he says that you come to what he calls specific knowledge, say specific knowledge. Specific knowledge of Christ. Oh, you didn't say it. Specific knowledge of Christ. Now, when he says specific knowledge, it is like this. You see, I can say that, go and call someone from the room. I can be out and say, oh, call somebody from the room. Or call somebody from the hall for me. Then you come, you say, okay. Albert, Prince is calling you. But I can also be specific and say, when you go, call Todaisi for me. You understand? Now, when that happens, I've given you specifically who you should call. See, the knowledge, that's why I started, where I started from. The knowledge of Christ brings you to what is called a specific knowledge. When you increase in the knowledge, you come to what is called a specific knowledge. A specific knowledge of Christ, or a specific knowledge about a particular subject of Christ. Praise God. For instance, you know that, okay, devil is a defeated foe. You know. You might have studied far above all principalities and powers. You are aware that the name of Jesus every name as well. You understand? You are aware. You know that, oh, I say at the name of Jesus every name must bow. At the name of Jesus. He didn't say when we should pray in the name of Jesus every knee bow. He didn't even say that. He said that at the name Jesus every knee should bow. He didn't say that we should pray. We pray, bow in the name of Jesus. Bow in the name of Jesus. He didn't say that. See, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name Jesus every knee should bow. At the name Jesus every knee should bow. You see, when you come to specific knowledge, you move from what you are doing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But when you say Jesus, it's settled. One is enough. You understand why? You have come to a specific knowledge. You understand? You've come to where? A specific knowledge of Christ. It's not more general to you. That's why I was talking about personal. You can be specific when it's personal. Shout amen. So Paul was saying that we come to full, and then when that happens, it enhances your persuasion of the knowledge. You become fully persuaded. Why? Because you have not just received knowledge, you received specific knowledge on a particular subject, on the knowledge of Christ. Like I was saying that now, we say, oh, God do this and God do this. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that is at work in us. Now, when you think on that one for some time, what you receive is specific knowledge. You understand? You receive a specific knowledge about the power of God. Are you following now? So, there is a place where you increase in knowledge. You increase in knowledge. And the knowledge that is in your spirit becomes specific knowledge. Where the knowledge of God becomes specific. Shout amen. Shout another big amen. Are you following? So, Paul was saying that they'll be fully persuaded. They have full assurance of understanding, and unto the knowledge or the acknowledgement of the mystery of Christ, or the mystery of God, who is Christ. Then he says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ. That's why I said, Christ is the revelation of God. And the church is the revelation of Christ. The knowledge of God is in Christ. The wisdom of God is in Christ. So, when you are in Christ, you have access to the knowledge of God. He says, we are stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom. We are caretakers of the mysteries of the kingdom. To those who are without, the Bible says, those who are outside Christ, to them these things, what is this? What is he talking about? But you who are in Christ, it is not a mystery to you. Why? Because in him he is the wisdom of God. In him are hid all the treasures and the wisdom, the treasures of knowledge and wisdom of God. So the wisdom of God is in Christ, insight into God. Praise God. It's in Christ. So when you are in Christ, you can have what is called insight into God. You want to know who God is? He says that Christ is who God is. So, you want to have knowledge about God or knowledge of God, look at Christ. The more knowledge of Christ you receive, the more knowledge of God you receive. And the more knowledge of the church you receive. You see how God has done it? The more you understand Christ, the more you understand you. But the more you also understand Christ, or the more you receive knowledge of Christ, the more you receive knowledge of God. So God is no longer a mystery to the church. Jesus Christ. Are you people following? God is not a mystery to us. Say, God is not a mystery to me. Because what is mysterious has been uncovered through Christ. So that this thing I'm sharing with you, receive the knowledge of Christ. Speak to circumstances. Like where I started from. What am I doing? I'm giving you knowledge of Christ. That knowledge I'm giving to you right now, I'm imparting it to you right now, or I'm giving to you right now, is the knowledge of God. So when you now sit down and think, he said we should speak to circumstances. Have you seen God praying over circumstances? God speaks to them. When Jesus came, he spoke to them. Now, we too, what do? We speak to them. That's why the Bible says, we also having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, we believe, and therefore we speak. Now you understand. So, the more of in him, the wisdom, insights. I don't know what kind of life you want to live. I don't know what kind of life you want to live. But I will not want to live a life where sickness is putting me in bondage. I will not want to live a life when a doctor is determining whether I will live or I will not live. Shout amen. Amen. Last week I was sharing something. I was telling someone that, you see, when someone is pregnant and the person has miscarriage, when you go to the hospital, they will say, maybe this is why. You understand? Maybe your body this, or maybe you took this, or you stressed yourself, or that's what they will say, they will tell you. But you see, when you carry that child, and many people just get a miscarriage. Now, when you carry that child, the doctor cannot give you 100% guarantee that the child will grow and come out. How many of you know that? Why? Your doctor cannot give you that guarantee. He will give you drugs and other things. But he cannot give you that guarantee that this is what will happen. So when sometimes you go, you say, what happened? Maybe you stress yourself too much. Or you didn't give you a reason. You understand? But then you who is carrying the baby with the knowledge of Christ can decide. Can decide. And next week I'll be talking much about when you decide you decide to keep this. Doctor was telling you, you decide what attacks your body. You decide. You look at your body. You talk to your body. It's not something. You can't do these things. Then you've not started Christianity. Why? Because the God you are calling speaks. God is a speaking God. Okasa. The Bible says that in the beginning, he saw that this, all these things were not good. And these things, and he spoke. And he said, let light be. And light came. He didn't pray, he spoke. You can't speak. So God speaks. So you can't speak to your body. You can't speak to your business. Speak to your finances. Hiya. You begin to speak with an understanding that you are speaking in Christ. That's what it means when as you read that word, you say, it says that we should walk in Christ. That's what it means. A lot of us are just conscious of ourselves. Be conscious of Christ. Be conscious of you in Christ and Christ in you. If you ever miss anything next week, don't miss what I'll share with you. It's very important. Praise God. Praise God. So you have control over your body, your blood, your bones, your heart, your arteries, your veins. You are not allowing the veins to determine how you should feel. You determine by speaking. You receive more knowledge. You begin to speak. You don't have anything to speak. Just speak to your body. You don't have anything to speak. Just speak to your body. You speak into your marriage. You begin to speak into your marriage right now. Don't wait to marry. Speak into your marriage. Those are things that we do. We speak, you're a wife, you're a lady, you are speaking about your husband. You've not seen any husband, you are speaking. My husband is blessed. Amen. My wife is blessed. My wife is fruitful. Amen. My wife is fruitful. See, by the time you receive so much knowledge, you are saying your wife is fruitful. By the time you get married, you have gotten to a place. He was pregnant before you married her. Are you getting what I'm saying? You speak to your jobs. Speak. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't just close your mouth. Speak. Now continue, Obed, quickly. I want to finish something here.
In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with
enticing words. Aye, aye. In other words, any man can come and then give you, the Bible says vain. Some say persuasive. People come and beguile you, to deceive you. Persuasive words. By the time they finish speaking it, you've even forgotten that you are in Christ. That's what Paul was talking about. You see, it's continuous. From verse 2, verse 3, now verse 4. See, this I say. I'm saying these things, lest someone beguiles you. So it's possible for you to be beguiled or be deceived by someone with persuasive words. Why? Because you are not rooted in the knowledge. You have not increased in knowledge. Or the knowledge of Christ has not increased in you. Anything deceives you. Last week I was telling my wife, I said, the only machine that I have is the word of God. The machine to scan my whole body is this word. As I look, you don't know what I've caught. You don't know what I've caught within this week. Shout amen. So, it says, continue, Obed.
Verse 5. Mm-hmm. For though I be absent in the flesh, mm-hmm. yet am I with you in the spirit, mm-hmm. joying and beholding your order, mm-hmm. and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, mm-hmm. rooted and built up in him, uh-huh. and established in the faith, uh-huh. as ye have been taught, uh-huh.
abounding. As ye have been taught, abounding in the abounding with thanksgiving, established in the faith. It says, as ye have been taught. What am I doing? I'm teaching you. Continue quickly.
As ye have been taught. Mm-hmm. abounding therein with thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Oh.
Beware.
Beware.
Lest any man spoil
that's
you.
What?
Verse 8.
This is what I'm coming to. Beware.
Beware.
Mm-hmm.
Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
It says, beware, lest any man spoil you. You see, this is Paul's communication to the church. He has told them about knowledge. He has told them that Christ says is the fullness of knowledge and wisdom. In him there is knowledge, in him there is wisdom, the knowledge of God. He says they should be careful lest someone beguile them with persuasive words. Then he goes further. Beware, lest any man spoil you with what? Philosophy and what? And vain deceit.
After the tradition of men.
After the tradition of men.
After the rudiments of the world.
After the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world.
And not after Christ.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And not after Christ. See, you are coming here right now. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When he says, I have not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him, but has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, hear the deep things of God. So what is it that knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit in that man? So in that same way, the Spirit of God knoweth the things of God. For we have not, then he says, for we have not received the Spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. But see, he says, Paul says that, for we have not received the Spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God. There is the Spirit of this world, then there is the Spirit which is of God. Do you hear what I said? There is the Spirit of the world. You know what the Bible says? There's whom the God of this world. There is the Spirit of the world. Then there is the Spirit which is of God, or the Spirit of God which is in us. Those who are not born again have the Spirit of the world. That is why 1 John says that they are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. And the world hears them. That says, but we are of God. So there are some people who are of the world. And we are of God, and we have the Spirit of God. But those who are of the world have the Spirit of the world. So there is the Spirit of the world in operation right now. So he says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So those who believe not have been blinded by the God of the world. Why? Because that God of the world is in them. He's with them. And he says that, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In the book of Ephesians. According to the course of this world. And according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Praise God. So there is the Spirit of the world. Then there is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the world imparts wisdom to men. Then the Spirit of God imparts wisdom to the church. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me explain that before I come here. Quickly, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading from the verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have received not the Spirit of the world.
Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. See, some of you think that when you hear musics, worldly musics, it's because those people were creative. Some say that, oh, they are talented, they are creative. No, it is the Spirit of the world. They are creative through the Spirit of the world. That's why you can listen to a worldly song. You don't even know what they are saying. When people are dancing, you don't know why they are dancing. What are they dancing to? Why? There is nothing the person is saying. Zege, 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 zege. You don't hear anything. Oh. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But then you see that people are dancing. Ah, what are they dancing to? Why? The spirit of the world is working in them. It is that spirit. See, the devil is cunning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you. The devil has varieties of operations. What you will call normal is the spirit of the world working. That's why when you're a Christian, sickness is not normal. But then you call it normal. Oh, come there, but listen. So that the spirit that is of the world works in the children of disobedience. And some of the things that you see most of the world people do, and how they're able to do it, it is the spirit of the world working in them. Why? Because the devil is looking for a lot of people. The same way the church is evangelizing, the same way the devil is evangelizing. And he's doing his own evangelism through music and other shows. Praise God. That's why you must be careful. It is not the world that will show you how to dress. It is you showing the world how to dress. It's not the world to show you the music you should listen to. It's you showing the world so that they will learn from you, not you learning from them. Shout hallelujah. Why? Because the spirit of the world is working. It's working. And there are a lot of things happening. You see somebody go every Friday clubbing. Hey, hey. It's normal to him. When you see, sir, what are you going to do here? You understand? You meet people, they are holding their cigarettes, they are holding whatever, alcoholic, whatever. Opemu, 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 opemu. You see them dancing, opemu. It is the spirit of the world. I see, it's very important. It's the spirit of the world enticing others to follow. The devil is cunning. Enticing others. So somebody who doesn't used to drink, he just opemu. Say, let me taste one glass one day. He tastes another one tomorrow. The next day, from that time, becomes a drunkard. You understand? The spirit of the world, that is how it operates. And the spirit of the world imparts wisdom to men. So it says that the spirit, we have received the spirit of God. It says, which things also we do what? We speak. It says, not as men's wisdom teaches, but as the Holy Ghost teaches. You hear somebody in America, somebody has taken gun, gone to classroom, gone to school. Five people, pa, 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 pa. Somebody's child. You are killing the child. Pa, 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 pa. You feel like killing. It's the spirit of the world looking for blood. They will come, they will arrest you, arrest the person, take the person to whatever place they will take the person to. It will not bring the children back. Do not. That is how the spirit of the world operates. Shout hallelujah. So it's not everything you follow. No. You follow the spirit of God. It says that which things also we speak, not as men's wisdom teaches. But then it says, but as the Holy Ghost does what? Teaches. Comparing spiritual to spiritual. So the things we speak are the things that the Holy Ghost teaches, not man's wisdom teaching. So it's difficult for you to say certain things. Because it's not the Holy Ghost teaching you that. It's man's wisdom. Where did you get that from? It says, and be not conformed to this world. See, Hagen said something. He said, he had an in-law. The guy, every day, he's chilling. Can Hagen himself, the whole papa, with an in-law who is always chilling. Shout hallelujah. And today the guy will be smoking. Tomorrow the guy will be doing this. He said he had prayed all his prayers. The guy will not change. He says one day he was kneeling down praying when the Holy Ghost showed him three demons. One the right hand, one left, one at the back. So that when the demon at the right says, cigarette. Can I have some cigarettes, please? Why? This one said, it's time for cigarettes. Tomorrow this one says, clap. So he said that when the Holy Ghost showed him that, when he stood up, he said, I rebuke you, foul spirit. They left him. Within some few days, the guy became a Christian and became a pastor. The spirit of the world. Shout amen. But it talks about the wisdom of this world, or the wisdom that is imparted to men, and then the wisdom that is imparted to the church by the Holy Ghost. Shout hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world, Romans, but be ye transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. It says, be transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. So it's important. People just copy things blindly. Instead of taking your time listening to what next message, you are listening to bend down low. It's important. But then you see, the spirit of this world and the spirit which is of God. The spirit of this world, so the spirit of God imparts us wisdom. Our own wisdom is different from the world. That's what I'm getting to. But then when you continue reading in Colossians, he says that beware lest anyone carries you as spoil. The word spoil there means to carry you as captive. Booty. Carry you as captive. Beware or see lest any man carry you as captive. How? It says by the philosophies and vain deceit, or by philosophy and vain deceit, and the elements or the rudiments of this world. This is thick. When it talks about philosophy, it's talking about the ideas of men. The ideas of men, the ideologies of men. Men have sat down, they've come with a lot of things. Someone says that man is a social animal. Someone says man is a political animal. Man is an animal. How? The wisdom of God says that man is a spirit. So they say, oh, man is a social animal. Why? He lives in the society and is programmed by the society. So what he does, or how he lives, or how he relates, all has to do with the society in which he was born into. So man is a social animal. Look at this nonsense. And those are ideologies, ideas of men. And so they feel, oh, you tell someone, hey, it's true. But when we are born in a society, that's what happens. That's not what the Bible says. We who are Christians, we don't care about people who are not Christians, what they think. We don't care. They can even say they are animals. We are not one. You see? But then you see, we are in Christ. People say, oh, Christianity is a religion. You've heard that. People say, oh, these religious people, leave them. These religious people, leave them. And some of them say the religious people, they call the church religious. Because they are comparing us to Muslims and Buddhists and all those people. And so they say, oh, Christianity is a religion. Oh, Christianity is a religion. And you see people who are Christians themselves, because they've not been taught correctly, they say Christianity is a religion. They say, we are trying to reach God. They say, okay, where is God? Come and see me. I'm God. You say, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? You want to understand what I mean? Get born again. That's all. Why? Because the only way you can understand what I mean is by being born again. Your eyes cannot be lighted up until they are born again. Simple. But they say Christianity is a religion. They say, religion, you see, people who are suffering, they are the one who say that, oh, there is religion. And they say there is religion because, you see, they are trying to imagine some supreme being who can help them. Nonsense. Why? He calls that philosophy. The man's needs are insatiable. Who told you? Those are man's needs. Do you know what he says? He says, my God shall supply all my needs. So my needs are not essential. But you see, must it be where else this thing be carried? They carry you away. Shout hallelujah. All the rudiments of this world. When he talks about rudiments, inclusive is intellectuality. So it is, see, it's very important what you learn. See, do you hear what I said? It is very important what you learn and the way you learn it. Do you understand? It's important even when you take the newspapers, what you are reading, how you read it. Why? Because you can be programmed by what you read from the newspapers. You begin to speak that way. You begin to think that way. You begin to talk to others that way. You see this. By the time you finish talking, you go and sit down. No, still, what you said cannot help you. The person you told to also talk to and say it's true. You see, now Ghana. And you say all of these things and you come back home. It will not change anything. It will not change anything. See yourself different amongst men. That's why it says, for ye are a chosen generation. Shout hallelujah. So the rudiments of this world, the elements of this world, the things that you study, the things that you are exposed to, you read, even on the internet. What are you reading? It's very important. You don't have anything to do. You are just checking. You are wasting time. Get the message. Use that time to listen to the message again and again. What are you doing? You are improving. The word of God improves you. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. You see, so he's telling us that we should be careful. We are not carried captive by these things. The whole economy is going to. Somebody comes out and says, the whole economy, this. You say, the whole economy, then we are in trouble. You and who are in trouble? You are not in trouble. Amen. You are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let them be in trouble, and you be in Christ Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? You go to the hospital, they tell you that, okay, you have found out that you have this sickness. Now, listen to this one I'm going to share. I want to share this thing with you before we close. Very important. About some of the example, a perfect example of when it talks about the rudiments of this world. See, when you are born again, Christ is your mirror. You've heard that over and over again. It means that what Christ calls things is what you call things. Somebody can see this thing and say that you are filled. It doesn't mean you are filled. That is the person's opinion. Your opinion must be in line with Christ's opinion. Your perspective must be in line with God's perspective in Christ. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when you read your Bible, open to the book of Luke. Let me explain something concerning sickness. Luke chapter 13. So, the elementary teachings, the rudiments of the world, the rudiments of this world, the things that you hear. Now they said, this sickness has come. Hey, where does the sickness come from? See, where does those sickness come from? The spirit of this world. The spirit of this world inventing sicknesses. Why? In his aim to kill, steal, and destroy, he's inventing more. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we don't have a cure. We don't have a cure. We have a cure in Christ. Amen. If they don't have a cure, they don't have a cure. We have a cure to every sickness. We had it even before we were. Amen. Even before we came to this world, we had the cures. Say kiosk. Why? But then you see, Luke chapter 13. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you when we talk about sickness, when the knowledge of this world, or the elements of this world, or the rudiments of this world, are you listening? Or the philosophies of men, when they talk about sickness, he says that beware. You don't know how I've thought about this thing. It says beware, lest any man carries you as captive. He carries you as captive. You have gone to the hospital, they check one or two things, they say, no, you have this particular sickness. Say, okay, so what do we do? So we have to give you drugs to manage it small. These things we can't cure, but it is caused by this. And we will give you drugs so that to manage it. You may not live too long after this. Oh, it's true. See, what they are telling you or calling the sickness is different to what Christ calls sicknesses. Listen, this thing I'm sharing with you is very important. What the world, the knowledge of the world, medical knowledge, calls sickness is not what God or Christ calls sickness. Now, as a Christian, you must embrace. That's what it means to be humble. To be able to embrace what God calls sickness and call it that way. And see it that way. And by that understanding or that revelation, act that way. Or you deal with it that way. Praise God. When you go to the hospital and say that you have diabetes, they say it is caused by this. Okay, so we'll give you drugs. Gradually, diabetes like that. Sometimes it may go, sometimes it may not go. But the drug, 2 o'clock, every 2 o'clock you must take it. The devil is a liar. Amen. See, they are calling it diabetes. Christ calls it the spirit of infirmity. Listen, there is what is called the spirit of infirmity. I want to finish with this one. And if you don't listen to it, listen to this one again and again. It will help you. Especially this part. There is what is called the spirit of infirmity. The spirit of infirmity is a demon. It's a demonic spirit. The same way we have demons of lust, demons of this. The same way we have demons of infirmity or the spirit of infirmity. And what the spirit of infirmity does is to attack your body. That is his own particular role given to him by the devil. So the spirit of infirmity attacks body. So when the spirit of infirmity attacks your blood, then something becomes wrong with your blood. When the spirit of infirmity attacks your heart or your lungs or your liver, then something will be wrong with your liver. In other words, what that spirit does is to make sure that the normal function of the organ is seized. The spirit of infirmity. The effect of the spirit of infirmity is what is seen in the lab. So when you go and say, hey, this is like this, that is the effect. Are you listening? But what is attacking the body is called the spirit of infirmity. Now, let's go into the Bible. Quickly, open to Luke. If you don't read it, you won't catch it. Luke chapter what?
Luke chapter 13, verse 11 downwards. Mm-hmm. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years.
It says
years.
That now, behold, there was a woman who had what? The spirit of infirmity. How does he call it in the Bible? They may call it cancer. He calls it the spirit of infirmity. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you following? Yeah. We are raising up people who are taking dominion. Dominion over sickness. Dominion over devils. Demons. Continue. There's a certain woman who had the spirit of infirmity. She had what? The spirit of infirmity. Now continue.
And was bowed together. And could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her.
Someone should open the, okay, you have the, someone should open the Amplified too.
And he laid his hands on her. Mm-hmm. And immediately she was made straight, mm-hmm, and glorified God. Mm-hmm. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, mm-hmm, because that Jesus had healed the on the Sabbath day, mm-hmm, and said unto the people, mm-hmm, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Mm-hmm. In them, therefore, come and be healed, mm-hmm, and not on the Sabbath day. Uh-huh. The Lord then answered him, mm-hmm, and said, uh-huh, thou hypocrite, mm-hmm, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or, mm-hmm, his ass from the stall, mm-hmm, and lead him away to watering? Mm-hmm. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound.
He calls the woman a daughter of Abraham. In other words, according to the law. No, Jesus was speaking from that perspective of the law. And according to the law, she was a daughter of Abraham. And do you know what the law says? It says that if you shall serve the Lord, blah, 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 it says, none of these diseases shall come to you. It says, he shall take away sickness from among you. That's what the Bible says. To the law, to the Israelites. The Israelites. It says he brought them forth with silver and gold. And there was none feeble among them. None feeble. Now, according to the law, he says that you shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless your bread and your water. And he shall take sicknesses away from your midst. Then he says, then shall none be barren, nor cast his young. To cast your young means to miscarry. Under the law in the Old Testament, it says, none shall be barren nor cast his young. He shall take sickness away from you. Then Jesus came to make one daughter of Abraham who was sick. And the Bible says that he was bowed over.
The Amplified. Luke 13. From 11. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman. Mm-hmm. There was a woman there, mm-hmm, who for 18 years. Had an infirmity.
How many years?
18.
18 good years of her life. She was in bondage.
Caused by a spirit
or demon.
A demon of sickness. She was bent completely forward.
Do you know what it says? A demon of sickness. You are sitting down, you are managing asthma. With your inhaler. One day your inhaler will not be there. See, don't worry. Last week I've been talking a lot of things. I want you to catch something out of this conference. You meet them face to face. You are not even moved. He said to Lucas, saw the devil on his chair somewhere. He said, ah. Is it you? I want to sit somewhere, relax. The devil was not a factor to him. You see, it is not because he was special. When we mention men of God, we mention TB Joshua, we mention Pastor Chris, we mention. See, it's not that they are not like us. But they have come to a place where they are not like us. You say, hey, yes, Saturday I was standing over and I said, Pastor Chris said he was sitting at T.L. under the feet of T.L. Osborne. When T.L. Osborne was teaching, Pastor Chris, a young guy like me, was sitting down listening. Today, if he says he's coming here, the whole Ghana will turn upside down. Why? Because he didn't stay at where he received something. He kept receiving more light. Your greatness is assured as long as you are not lazy. There is no room for a lazy man. Praise God. So, he was for 18 good years. The Bible says he was bowed over. Okay, come and stand there. Let me use an example. Bowed over. Touch your toe. Bow over like this. So this is how she was walking like this. For 18 years. If she had gone to any hospital, they would have said that spondylosis. or spinal cord, whatever, and say you have to live like this for the rest of your life. But the Bible says that when Jesus saw the woman, he saw that it was a spirit of infirmity. And it says, ought not this woman bound these 18 years? Some of you have been to church, you've not heard anything like this before. It's important you hear this thing and you hear it again. What we are calling diabetes is the spirit of infirmity. It's a devil. What you are calling my asthma, you are saying my devil. You are personally, why? You are talking about the spirit of infirmity. So when the spirit of infirmity comes to your liver or attacks your liver, then the normal function of your liver is affected. So when the spirit of infirmity left this woman, immediately she was made straight. This is one of the places the Bible never said the power of God was present. Why? Because he did not need power. Why? Because it's like this. When you connect a water hose to a pipe and it's coming, and you put a rubber inside, definitely the rubber will stop the water from coming. When you move the rubber, the water comes. So when the spirit was removed, she became straight. But you see that in her days, there was no one casting demons. So Jesus came and saw that this thing is the spirit of infirmity. So you are saying my stomach ache, you are calling because every time. No. Or your headache. Don't see. When they go to me, they see sickness as an enemy. Don't see it as normal. When you see it as, why? Do you know what it means to even have headaches for 1 week? You may not go to work. Some people say, oh, sickness is normal. God is giving you sickness so that you can't go to church. You're having stroke, you're sitting in the house, you can't go to church again. God has given you a normal sickness, something normal. Why am I showing you these things? So that you know that you are in Christ, fine. You know where sickness is coming from, to have dominion over sickness also. That's what I'm showing you. So that when the eyes of your understanding is lighted up, you come to see that this thing we are calling diabetes, no. It is the spirit of infirmity. How did I get it? Where did I get it from? That's what Jesus said. He said it's the spirit of infirmity. Can Jesus lie? No. So if God is true, Jesus is true, then we are also true. Why? He calls it the spirit of infirmity. Migraine. The spirit of infirmity. Today you feel feverish. Today you feel slow, you feel stronger. Tomorrow you feel weak, you feel stronger. It's normal. No. Wake up. Do what? Wake up. You may be born with a condition. So I have a condition in my blood. I have this. You were born that way. Now you are born again. Don't begin to see it as normal. It's in my family. If it's in your family, you are different. That is why you are hearing this thing. It's different. You are different. So handle it differently. Don't say my family. Don't let it kill you. By the time you say, oh, we are sorry, we couldn't help you. You don't know how many people who have died of certain sicknesses and couldn't fulfill anything. All their plans and purposes shattered. Don't see sickness as an enemy. Wherever you find it, you have met an enemy caused by the spirit of infirmity. And the spirit of infirmity is a demonic spirit which you can cast out in Christ. You can't cast out the spirit of infirmity if you are not in Christ. But once you are in Christ, you can cast out the spirit of infirmity. So all you need is to receive. Next week I'll talk about this thing. Shout hallelujah. You see, but don't see it as, oh, it's a spirit of infirmity. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Then it says, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what the Bible calls it. How do you call it? Which biology book did you read? See, that is the issue. Because the doctor told you it is this, you say it is that. Jesus said it is this, you say no. No. But even asthma, up to today, people are struggling with asthma. And they've gone to all the hospitals they'll ever be to. all the hospitals. If I'm lying, say I'm lying. It's true. Sometimes common headaches, migraine. They say we found solution to sicknesses. Where is the solution? Why people are still struggling with migraine? What is the solution? Diabetes. He said, come, let us remove one of your legs, amputate one of your leg. You are sitting down, relaxed. So your future is secured. This knowledge that is coming to you is securing your future. Shout hallelujah. Maybe you say, oh, I've been sick. Don't worry. It is not you've been sick. You understand? Don't feel, oh, as for me, when I'm sick, I take drugs. I'm not used to all these things. Why is this thing very important? So that a time may come where there will be no drug. When the devil sees that he gives you one and you take it, he'll give you another. That one may be higher. That one will be higher. So tomorrow, when he gave you this one, you say, oh, it's okay. Tomorrow he'll bring you another one that is higher. Now you go and they say that it is hole in heart. Or kidney stones. At that time, you begin to look for one man of God to another man of God. You will see that all your certificate has become useless. One sickness can erase all your wealth. That's why they used to say that. They say health is wealth. One sickness can erase all your wealth. All the money you have in your account. You go to UK, you go to US, you go to China, you go to India, Cuba. You come and sit down. I know of a man who has been taken to all the whole world. Yeah, unless you're a good doctor, they will take you there still. So it is not the places they take you to. Don't. That's what I'm saying. Don't live your life to chance. Embrace this knowledge. God calls that diabetes the spirit of infirmity. Do you know what it means? If you have diabetes, you cast it out. You say, oh, but I still have the feeling. You say, no. That's why I'm telling you that it's a fight. Sometimes you need to fight. How do you fight? Take the knowledge in. You will drink so much knowledge that you'll be intoxicated. That day, that same sickness will vanish. That spirit is gone. You say, I'm free. How do I know? I'm free. So, what the spirit does is to make sure that it attacks the normal function of the body. The spirit of dampness. So when you study these things for a long time, you not say, oh, I'm bringing my cousin to you. Say, Kuzo, now I have come. Why? You are coming with confidence, full assurance of understanding. And the knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Shout hallelujah. Get the message. I want you to study. It says study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself. You are not studying for me. You are studying for one day. Something may happen. I remember there was this guy who was staying with us. And one day he went to school and was carried to the house. They said he was sick. So my mom said, oh, Ebeneyo. I was studying. When I just came out of the room, I said, what is it? They said, oh, when you had the number for you, say in the harem. All of a sudden, I heard, rebuke this spirit. I was drunk. Rebuke this spirit. I said, come. There was no prayer. That's how come I know that. See, this thing, I was telling Obed that one day I was there with my man, I had a hiccup. I said, come out. The thing stopped. The hiccup heard that I said it should stop. The Bible says that that's why I said that what man of that the winds and the waves obey. There's a law where winds obey of knowledge, where winds obey, trees obey, contracts obey, business sponsors obey. You step into business, come on, see a cartel. You see people coming in. We want to help God. You don't even know how it happened. You have called them. They have come. It's not a talk. Someone was telling me one business. I was talking to some business. He said, My boss at work, he says that as for him, he knows a business. You can't be very, like, you can't be very sure. You can go higher and then come down at once. Maybe so one contract can make you fall. And that was what his boss was saying. That was what his boss, and the friend of the boss came. And the friend said that, was giving an example of how he invested in something. He has gone down. It happens. There was a man that came to, remember? Now this man that came to see me, who had money, said, I have crumbled. I don't know what even happened. Even this Kufuor bus. Those times, I was the one bringing all of that. I said that Kufuor bus contract. I went, they signed everything. I don't know what happened. He doesn't know what happened. Somebody just took the contract out. You understand? And just crumbled at once. Came to me and said, Jesus can do something. He now knows that Jesus can do something. Do you know what he told me? He said, if I knew this thing 10 years back, what he said. If he knew this thing. So it's not just physically we are going to do business. That is why when you go to all these Indians, you go, they have Buddha there. Buddha. They put the portrait of Buddha is there. They are telling you that even though they are doing business, they are doing business with Buddha. You have Christ in you. You don't need a portrait. You are just coming. Oboro. Strategies. And you see, when the guy was telling me, I said, if this is what your boss is saying, and I didn't tell him, I was saying, if that's what this is what your boss is saying, and you are following your boss, and we say, come and receive knowledge, and you don't come. And when your boss crumbles, you crumble and you follow him. You understand? So you know that they say that at any time, the business can fail. You can invest in something, it may look promising. You can go and collect all the loans, billions, invest. All of a sudden, the thing crumbles. Banks are chasing you. You know that, you know this thing. You won't receive knowledge. You are waiting for it to... It's amazing. Hallelujah. This guy came in. I just looked and said, look at me. I said, I rebuke you, foul spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, when I said, I rebuke you, foul spirit, come out of this boy. Immediately, the guy who was carried, immediately, before my very eyes. And see, one thing I've realized that when you have, you do it, it happens. You do it, it doesn't happen. You want to have consistent happenings. Do you need consistent knowledge? Or consistency in the knowledge? Did you get what I said? It means you need consistency in the knowledge. So you learn how to, I've said it here, pray 30 minutes. You have to be able to pray 30 minutes. You don't come to watch this, you can't pray for even 30 minutes or 1 hour in a day. No. Control your feelings. Don't let your feelings control you. I feel like praying. Do you feel like eating before you eat? But you see, you pray. Then you sit down to stay. See, this thing I'm giving you. If you follow this thing, you will see. You will see that at a point in time, you will not need any prayer, anything. You are Ogbogo. Master, you are coming. Praise God. The guy just stood up. That was all. That was all. My mom came from school. She said, now. The guy was Adam. Adam away. The guy was, when he said Adam away, Adam was on his bicycle coming. He said, you know, so you are, but the point, see me, my mom told me this, yeah, my mom told me. My mom was just looking at me like this. She has been in church. Nobody has told him that this thing, rebuke it. That's what I was saying. This is not a church we are doing. We are showing you what you don't hear when you go to your church. Praise God. Praise God. So it's a spirit of diabetes. Imagine you're able to master this thing and master next week. What I'll share with you is very important. And you master the two, and you are coming. You just go and line all the diabetes people up. See, this is a spirit. They are saying, the doctor said the diabetes for 8 years. When they are saying that to you, you are not seeing that. You understand? You are only seeing spirit of infirmity. They are seeing diabetes. You are seeing spirit of infirmity. Say, I'm going to heal the sick. I'll not be a pastor to heal the sick. No. As a Christian, a world changer, I'm healing the sick. Shout hallelujah. You are all blessed. How many of you are blessed tonight? Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You will listen to these messages. You will listen. Christ formed in you. Next week I'm talking about faith. I want you to be here. It will provoke you. Praise God. You have to be here. You will listen to this one. You add it to whatever you know. You are going. Your business is expanding. Shout hallelujah. Shall we please be upstanding?
The word is a seed, when planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams, if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. It's time to shine. Come on.